And I think sometimes I'd love to be like you. Cool and calm and unemotional. Protestant, in short. What a... It's a fantastic religion. It makes absolutely no demands upon you at all, which is why it's not a great religion. All great religions are built on shame. You don't have any of that if you're Protestant. You go to the church, you sing a few hymns, have a cup of tea, everybody goes home and has a wank. You see, you have the freedom of mind to walk into a room and see a plate of biscuits, say. And you look at them and you think, well, there's a plate of biscuits. I might have a biscuit, I might not, I might have one later. I might put it in my pocket and give it to somebody else. I don't really mind, it's just a biggie. It's not like that if you're Catholic. You walk in the room, you see the plate of biscuits, there could be other things going on in the room. The room could be on fire. It could be full of naked clowns killing each other with crossbows. This doesn't matter to you because all you see is the plate of biscuits. Because you think, oh no, I'm going to eat them. I know I am. I'm going to eat them. I'm going to eat them all. Oh no, I know I am. I'm even walking towards them. I wasn't aware of that, but I am now. I've actually started to eat the biscuits. Help me, help me. Oh, they're delicious. Oh, the shame, the shame, the shame. Oh, I can't tell which is nicer. The biscuit or the shame? It's a child's biscuit. That's perfect. I don't deserve a grown-up one with dark chocolate on it. Oh, they're so nice. Now they're all gone. The shame. The shame. That's all I've got left. Nothing can make me feel better now. Except cocaine. On and on and on. And yet, people still turn to Jesus. You will notice, though, that the kind of people who turn to Jesus tend to be the sort of people who haven't done that well with everybody else. Like the people who are here, for instance. They say to themselves, well, I can't get it right in this lifetime, but in the next life, it'll be right. In the spiritual afterlife, which makes no sense at all, really. It's your choice, of course, if you want to believe all this, but why would you want a spiritual afterlife? Surely you should sort your spirit out now while you're here. The spirit is what is challenged. The spirit is what suffers all the knocks. The spirit is the thing you've got to master. If you are going to have an afterlife, why not just have a physical afterlife? Just come back as a tentacle and a set of lips looking for huge lumps of chocolate to fuck. It'd be much more, you know, reasonable. Because the fact is, you prop yourself up with your compulsions all the time. I'm quite a compulsive person. I only worked this out recently. I'm compulsive, but I'm also very indecisive. I don't know what I want, but I know that I want it now. And I thought for ages, you know, everybody was like this. I thought everybody woke up a couple of mornings a week in the shower with Marmite clotted handcuffs, but apparently not. You know, there are sensible choices, obviously. I don't take loads of drugs because this is tedious. Everything becomes too routine. You take the drugs, you stay there for 9 hours going, and you run out of, and you have to go and buy more. It's just this endless cycle of repetition. I don't get it. And, you know, you can get addicted to all sorts of things except fruit. And, but Jesus isn't a very good role model for children, I don't think. You know, they'd be far better off with somebody who's less whiny. He did complain an awful lot, Jesus. Oh, nails, oh, vinegar. You're the Messiah. Get on with it. Would you stop? Batman is a far more useful role model for children. He was orphaned as well. He didn't moan about it. He went to Tibet and did press-ups and things with Bunsen burners and came back and put on the ears and got up on the roof ready for anything, dealing with his own personal issues. Jesus moaned all the time. You'll see this in the pictures, pointing outside of the picture, in all the Catholic iconography, pointing, I want that one. What's he got? He's got cream on his. Oh, I thought, what is that? Or blaming people. It was him. He hurt my feelings. But you lose so much of that natural, human panache that children have. No, you tell the child to go to bed, and it puts that against what it wants to do, and synthesizes, and says, I hate you. I really hate you. As they're scratching their arse with a toy elephant. Now, If you could retain that sense of self in your adult life, you'd have a totally different experience. At work, telling your boss, I hate you, I'm scratching. Really do. Every day is the same fucking shit. I don't know why I keep coming back. Difficult to keep a hold of, though. That's why adults are confused a lot of the time. Adults are terribly confused, messed up people. That's because they forget, really. They don't have to pretend all the time. Really, the fact is, you're not an adult at all. You're just a tall child holding a beer. Having a conversation you don't understand. The Middle East. Yeah, I know, it was really bad. Yeah, I wouldn't have done that. Yeah. Hysterectomy. Very painful. The shoulder is a very painful area. Being intimidated. I get intimidated by men, by other men. You know, we were talking about the driving lessons. There are guys talking in pubs about machines and cars. There's a whole culture of that. They're talking about the granumbulator on their whinny whacks of their car. And they turn to me and go, what kind of car have you got? I go, I don't know, but when I get one, it's going to be a blue one. Men are always intimidating one another, competing with one another. They're more aggressive, I suppose. They did this study, actually, in the University of Chicago, with women, and they worked out that women are incredibly good at reading male faces. You know, there's two types, apparently. There's a kind of round, soft, sensitive-faced person who's a good person to have around, and is good for you, good for a family, gentle and caring and can empathize. And then there's the other type, which is more kind of stronger-jawed, more masculine-looking, smaller eyes, you know, King Kong is what we're talking about here. And this, interestingly, this was the kind of male favored by women for what was called in the study brief relationships. What the fuck is that? One where you don't have to roll your tights down the whole way. What is a brief relationship exactly? He drives one of these vehicles. You know these things, they're called Hummers. You know? It's like a big four-wheel drive thing. Huge. How small does your cock have to be? To make you walk into a car showroom and say, listen, I need something the size of a school so people know I'm around. As if driving wasn't already aggressive enough. You see people behind the wheels of these things. They change, you know, in those big built-up vehicles. You have them here in London, you know, because it's difficult. Obviously, the coffee is on one side of the street and you have to get your newspaper from the other. It's tough, I know. And people change to get behind the wheel of those things. They lose the ability to distinguish between an empty packet of crisps and your children. And driving is incredibly aggressive. I started to learn recently. I don't know how to drive, and it's fairly pathetic, you know, because I'm 30, nearly 35. It's ridiculous. And then I started getting nervous because I can't swim either. And I thought, you know, what if I crash into a lake? I am fucked. But then you learn very, very quickly that it is mostly about swearing, actually. That's all you're doing, swearing in a box with wheels. Because you don't swear like that with any other activity in your day. You don't allow yourself. It's okay when you're driving for some reason. If somebody blocks you when you're walking, you're positively Edwardian in your manners. You do this sheepish little smile together, and you step aside, and you both do it at the same time, and you go, oh, for goodness sake, what to do? Oh, dear me. I'll just... Oh, we did it again. Do you believe it? I can't believe it. We should be on the stage. One more time, I'll just... Oh, how did we ever get this far as a species? But for some reason, in a car, that becomes, you spunk bucket! From, you know, an 89-year-old church warden. Excuse me, I have a... something it'll clear up. It might take me with it, but, you know, we'll see. All this aggression is terrible, actually. You see that everywhere. People have, you know, you think you're mad at the other motorist in that case. Probably something else. You know, it's probably something in your own past. Probably, I don't know, mad at your mother or something. That's why you find yourself as a 45-year-old person on the street shouting. There must be a story behind all those people you see mumbling on the street, having those intense conversations that look really, really significant, except nobody else is there. And then, you know, you're probably mad at something. I don't, because everybody remembers you would be alone in the kitchen, and twilight would be dwindling, and you could hear the far-off cries of the other children playing nearby. And you knew you'd be alone in the kitchen because it was your special treat time where the jelly would come out just for you. and your mother would appear at your side, just this vision of Laura Ashley print dress smelling of magnolias and biscuits, and put the jelly in front of you, and you would pull your chair in, and then the old-fashioned bar of ice cream would come down, the one that had to be cut with a bread knife before the two sides were flanked with wafers. And you would lift your little spoon up excitedly to press it in and winkle out that first divot of black jelly. And then the cage would come down! The cage with the Japanese fighting spiders inside. She would strike a match off her forearm and go and tell you to dance in the front room for money. And you never forget that shit, you know, it never goes away. Thank you for sharing. Now, what's that? I appreciate everything you've done. I loved your early work. I think it's only getting better. So I was talking about something, and then I stopped. And you agreed. We left it there. But now the thing is, to get to it, what I really meant to say was, you know, you probably all went and got a drink and everything in the interval, and, you know, were propulsed along by your own needs, having them filled, which is what we do. Some people are taking pictures on phones. I don't know why people do that. It's very weird. Everybody does that now. We all take pictures. You do the same with holiday photos. You record something to look back on it, even though you're not really there when you're taking the picture because you're too busy recording it. So you're retrospectively going to look back on where you weren't and tell yourself you had a good time. But that's what holiday photos are, aren't they? You go away, you come back, you say, look, you show your friends, look, it's us. I know. Yeah, but look, we're eating hummus. What a transformation. I hope you enjoyed yourselves. Because that's what you're telling yourself. It's your reward to go away. It's to still that time of year people are going away. You can't really enjoy it. It's very hard anyway. There's only one airline servicing the world now, Air Denial. Where everybody gets on and they pretend they're in a cafe. They're trying to shut out the one thought that has actually kidnapped their mind, which is we're all going to die. You pretend you're in a cafe, and that's what the people are there who work on the planes are supposed to support you in this fantasy, because they come along and they say, would you like red or white wine with your piece of vulcanized lizard's cock from the moon? How about an extra bread roll there to dip in your otter vomit pate? And you're going, red or white wine? What are you going to have, darling? I don't know. What are you going to have? All to shut out the one thought which is in your mind, which is, we're going to die, we're all going to die, we're all going to die right now. The plane is made of metal. The wings are made of metal. We're all eating, and I'm the only non-terrorist aboard. We're all going to die. And the only enjoyable bit, actually, about being up there is if you have a family, if you're with your children and you get to see the young person you used to be sitting a few rows ahead of you, who always oblige you by turning around and giving you that scowling look, because your child reacting to air pressure is expressing themselves by going baggy, baggy, blah! And they look around disapprovingly as though you're going to clock that look and go, oh sorry, I'll slit their throat. And after all, you paid for business and you're a busy, busy guy, aren't you?